It's the WTIL Morning News with Tom Meredith, Jim Lee, and Will Stevenson.
Magician Bill Blagg. Bill, good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Very good. How are you today?
Rocking.
All right. Let's talk about how did you get started? I know there's a lot of, you know, kids when they're little, you get the little magic kit or whatever. Like, that's what I want to be. Or maybe you saw a magician. What got you started in wanting to be a magician?
You know, my sister actually got a magic set long before I did. And I would sneak into her room when she was gone and steal her magic set and play around with the magic tricks. And eventually I got caught. She got I think my parents finally had enough of my sister complaining that I was stealing her magic kit, so they got me my own, and the rest is history.
So you started off with the little finger guillotines and all those little things and worked from there, huh?
That's pretty much it. My first trick was a quarter that I made disappear, and I showed it to everybody I possibly could. And then I'd take the change and run to the pharmacy and buy candy.
There you go. Well, there's so many different styles of magician now. They're, you know, comedic and, you know, whether it be sleight of hand and just so many different ways. And then there's the some of these big spectacular shows. Okay, we're going to make the jet disappear. That do you put yourself in a category as to or a style of magicianship?
If you take all of that stuff and put it in a blender and grind it up and pour it out, that's our show.
There you go.
That's a great way to put it. We got the grand scale magic from, I got a glass box that I get locked in, that I get suspended over 10 feet in the air, and I instantly disappear, all the way to the audience interaction with the comedy. We make people from the audience actually levitate on stage. We make people disappear and don't come back. You should see the amount of guys that bring their mother-in-laws to the show.
we would consider bringing our news guy if you'd like.
Hey, there you go. Anything's possible. Well, we got the grand scale magic. We have the full stage set, all the intelligent, cool lighting that you'd see at a professional rock concert. We bring all of that stuff with us. In addition, we have an illusion we've been working on for 13 years that we will be performing in Galesburg on Friday night, and it's the world's only hoverboard, like from the movie Back to the Future. I'm actually going to get on this thing and take off and ride across the stage.
Well, that sounds fun.
That would be really cool, because we all, from that, no matter how old we were when we saw that movie, we all wanted one of those. That's really cool.
That was over 25 years ago, isn't that?
Yeah,
cool?
As long as it doesn't end like Biff, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I hate manure.
Yeah. and again, you obviously don't want to give away your secrets, but the one thing that always amazes me is not just the magic act itself, but also what goes on between, because there has to be a lot of, you're entertaining the audience, you're talking, you're having dialogue, but at the same time, many times you're setting up your next trick. Has that been the harder part for you, is the weaving the things all together, or is it actually performing the act itself?
You know, I mean, there's definitely multiple facets to any show. Putting the lineup together, so to speak, to make sure that the show's continually building and escalating. And I call it, you want that roller coaster effect where you have your highs and your lows, and then next thing you know, you're turning and you're flipping and that cool stuff. So we make sure that that's all incorporated in. But in terms of the behind-the-scenes stuff, I have an amazing team of people that are involved with our show. I have 5 crew members that travel with me, from illusion technicians, stage managers, production managers. So I have, I would say, the best team in the business that's behind the scenes helping to put it all together, make it seamless, and make it all happen.
We're talking with magician Bill Blagg, the magic of Bill Blagg, this Friday night at the Orpheum Theater, 7:30 show. We've got one more pair of tickets to give away, by the way, and we'll do that coming up here. Bill, you talked about that your show is kind of a blend of everything you see out there. So you have a bit of a comedic element to your show?
Oh, absolutely. Our show is kind of like the Second City improv comedy, in a sense. It's not necessarily scripted, so you just go off of the things that happen in the audience. We were just in outside of Detroit the other night, and I mean, I had a lady on stage start tying me up. I don't know what that was all about, but it made for one heck of a good time. So I think that's the best part, is you just never know where it's going to go based on the interaction and the feedback that you get with the crowd. So it's got the comedy, the grand scale magic, and it's appropriate for the family. It's a Las Vegas style family show. So grandma and grandpa and the kids and mom and dad and a young couple out on a date, everybody can come and have a great time.
Well, and I'm more of a fan of that. Although, you know, the guys that, you know, have the serious look, whether it's
kind of the dark,
Copperfield or Doug Henning or whatever, it's like, that's fine, and they do some good tricks. But I would rather see Penn and Teller or Harry Anderson or what you do when you have that other element that makes it fun all around, on top of being amazed with the tricks you're doing.
That's exactly it. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not on stage being some type of personality or some type of character. I mean, I'm the same guy if you bump into me off the street as I am on the stage. I'm a natural prankster. I like to pull jokes on people and have a good time, and that's exactly what the show is.
Is this what you've done ever since you got out of school, or was there any interim before you started doing the magician work?
Well, I graduated from college. I went to college in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and graduated in top of my class there with a degree in marketing and communications and a minor in performing arts. And literally from there, launched into my performing career, and we've been on the road now at the show for over 15 years.
Oh, so your minor became your major real fast, huh?
There you go.
So were you always a good student, or did your parents feel you pulled off a really good act by being the top in your class?
You know, I was always a good student. I was fortunate to have a lot of teachers along the way that were real supportive of my magic career. My fifth grade teacher was actually an amateur magician and taught me a lot of magic and really helped continue to foster my interest in it. And I don't know, I grew up in a community and surrounded by a variety of members of the community and my family that were really supportive of what it was I wanted to do. And I mean, I remember telling my parents at a young age, I was like, hey, you know, I think I want to be a doctor. My dad looked at me and he's like, no, you're going to be a magician.
No, that's support.
How many fathers will say that, huh? So are you a little bit like the old Johnny Cash song, I've been everywhere, man? You've been doing it for years all over the states. Do you go overseas? Or?
I've done a limited work overseas, mainly here in the U.S., just traveling the country. And every year our show is getting bigger and bigger, and we're getting more traction in the market. You know, it's just one of those things that, like they say, an overnight success takes 30 years. So we're 15, 20 years in. We got a few more years to go. But we pride ourselves on the type of product we bring to the stage. Because if you haven't seen, a lot of people see magic on YouTube or they see it on TV. And there's nothing like seeing it live. And the Orpheum Theater in Galesburg, with that historic theatrical vibe that you get from it being a historic venue, I mean, it's just going to be incredible seeing this type of stuff taking place on a stage in that type of setting. We're excited.
Is there any specific venue or place that sticks out in your memory, Bill, that you've done that was unusual or unusual things went on?
Absolutely. It was the Paramount Theater in Austin, Texas. I'm not sure if you guys believe in... Yeah, I know at the end of the day it's illusion, it's entertainment. I don't come on stage and claim to have magical powers. But I had a situation at the Paramount in Austin, Texas, where I was talking, referring about Houdini, who had performed on that stage before, and one of our props moved across a table that was on stage with nobody being near it. And I mean, everybody in the whole audience went silent because they all saw it too. It was crazy. And then they started applauding. They thought it was part of the show. So I was like, thank you.
and you're kind of have a dumbfounded look on your face too, I'm guessing, initially.
Yeah, I was pretty shocked. I'm glad I didn't end up in like in a pair of handcuffs. I didn't know where they came from or something.
Talking with Bill Blagg. He is a magician. He'll be performing Friday night as part of the Orpheum's Red Carpet Series, 7:30, The Magic of Bill Blagg. Bill, are there any of the popular magicians that influenced you at all, or anybody stylistically that you kind of followed?
Well, I was a product of, you know, child of the 80s, so I grew up watching the annual David Copperfield magic show. So he was definitely one of the big influences. And the one big thing is magic's evolved and kind of really went into that reality TV realm. The one big thing I respect greatly about David, even to this day, is the fact that everything you see him do on TV, he does the same exact thing in his live show. So he's not manipulating with camera tricks or doing anything of that nature. What he's doing on TV is the same thing you're getting live. And I think that's a real testament to the art and to who he is as a showman.
Okay, so the show Friday, you're looking at, an hour and a half? Do you usually go any over that? I didn't know how, from a magic show standpoint, how much you can do before you just get exhausted.
So you run out of power.
Yeah.
There you go.
No, the show runs just over an hour and a half, and again, there's a lot that's based on the audience. I mean, we've had shows run an hour and 45, hour and 50 minutes just because we're having a blast. So we got 24,000 pounds of gear loaded in the truck that's on its way, heading that way actually right now. And, I mean, we're going to bring it all. We'll go until we fall over.
So do you still call Kenosha home then, or?
I still call Kenosha home. I'm sitting there right now looking at the gray sky and wondering if it's going to rain.
Well, come down here. We got plenty of sunshine for you.
There you
today.
Go. Hey,
there you go. I'm looking forward to it. We have three shows that day. We have two shows during the day with my educational show, The Science of Magic, where we teach students about how magicians use science to create the illusions they perform on.
Great.
And
that's really cool.
Them all in for that. And then we got the public show, and tickets are still available. They can get them at BillBlagg.com. That'll link you right to the Orpheum's website to purchase them there.
Very
it's
going
to be a great time.
Yeah. Very good.
Boy, the kids will love that. Yeah, but that's probably as much a highlight of your day just with some of the responses you get from the kids as anything.
Oh, my gosh. It's incredible. I mean, when you got 1,300 screaming kids back-to-back in two shows. Then you just take a quick nap, and then you go hit the public show. It's like, all right, time for fear.
David, I want to get your opinion on some of your contemporaries. I mean, I saw like when the very first David Blaine Street Magic special that came out. I thought that was kind of cool, but then after that, he got really, really annoying. Chris Angel, I've always been annoyed with, but you know, I love Penn and Teller style and some of the others. What's your opinion on some of your contemporaries?
No, I think everybody's got their own unique style, and they're trying to do their own unique thing that appeals to the audience that they're trying to grab. So naturally, if you're in the reality TV realm, you're trying to do a little bit more stuff that's catchy and a little bit more shock value, and you want to have that unique look, so to speak, that's associated with it. So I think each and every one of them has done something unique in their own right to keep magic on the forefront and to keep it out in the public. And the ability to take and do that is really unique. And if you look back in the day, you had David Copperfield, Doug Henning, and Harry Blackstone, each of them, again, unique in their own right of the performance style that they did. Now, granted, one might appeal to the other versus the other one. I just think it gets to the point of where, you know, and I cross my fingers and I hope for it, that it just goes back to just, you know, one day you got your ordinary guy who gets on stage and does some extraordinary things, and everybody just has a good time. It's not so much about that unique shock piece, so to speak, that makes it hip and cool for the moment, I guess is a good way to put it.
Great answer.
Okay, well, yeah, and if your truck breaks down on the way, Tom's got a rabbit and a top hat. So.
Yeah, yeah.
If nothing else.
Well, yeah, we'll be careful with that. We'll yeah. take the hat out of the rabbit.
Yeah. Bill, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Again, the show Friday night at the Orpheum Theater, part of the Red Carpet Series, 7:30 show. Tickets available. You can go to Bill's website, also the Orpheum box office, Orpheum Theater website as well. Thanks, Bill, for taking the time this morning. We appreciate it. Look forward to Friday night.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great one.
News, information, and great conversation every weekday morning. The WGIL Morning News on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.